And you're listening to episode, I don't even know what episode it is anymore. I don't care. I've kind of stopped paying attention to pretty much everything at this point in time. It's the Sippin' on Purple podcast. And much like Northwestern football, we're off to a fine start. It's really gotten – things have gotten dark and dreary awful quickly over here. Not in terms of weather. It's actually really nice out here in Evanston. Has been for all the home games. But, yeah, it sort of saps your will to do a podcast when bad things happen. Loretta, how do you feel over there?
I'm fairly depressed about the state of Northwestern football here. It's been a very steady decline into oblivion. We've gone through all the stages of grief, I think.
Yeah, well,
each... I don't even know what the stages are, but
I think
in order.
When you're 0-5 in your last five games, you get one stage per game. And this last game was definitely acceptance, where I think we all just kind of, yeah, this is happening right now, sort of thing. Because some of the losses were, you know, shocking, surprising, you're mad they lost, you know, because, you know, they should have won this game. Some of them, they were ahead, you know, you feel they should have, you know, held on to the lead. Sometimes, you know, other things. It's just they've run the gamut of ways to lose, and at this point I'm just impressed with the diversity of the losses. And also, yeah, I get it at this point. I'm sad.
Right, there's been plenty of diversity, but we still haven't had the straight-up ass-kicking from the opening kickoff yet. That hasn't happened yet.
That's true. I'm looking forward to it when we play Nebraska or Michigan State in a few weeks.
Right, that trip to Nebraska could get ugly.
Yeah, I mean, although Nebraska hasn't looked like the world beaters I thought they were at the beginning of the season, Northwestern hasn't looked like the team beaters of anybody for the past month and a half or so.
It's been quite a while since the last win. It's really... Neither us or Eastern Illinois has won since that fateful day in Evanston.
Yeah, that was really the high point when you think about it, which is pretty... Because right now where we are is Northwestern is 2-5. We're reminiscing of the good old days when we could beat Boston College and, you know, Boston College seemed good and things were all right. And now Northwestern needs to win 4 out of the last 6 to make a bowl game. In order to do that, they're going to have to beat either Michigan State or Nebraska, assuming they're able to beat.
It's 4 out of 5, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, sorry about that. My bad. Yeah, because Northwestern has Minnesota, Purdue, Indiana, not Purdue. Wow, I'm just saying a lot of things incorrectly. The unprofessionalism continues at an all-time high. Indiana this week, Rice in Minnesota down the road. You can't really assume a victory right now, but there has been a noticeable drop. There is a notable drop-off between the skill levels of those teams and the skill level of teams that Northwestern has lost to over the past few weeks, including Iowa, which is the worst of the four.
Yeah, it's. I was thinking about this, and if, say, Northwestern beats Indiana in a fairly unimpressive fashion, which is probably what I think will happen, and then gets smoked by Nebraska, then you got the back-to-back home games against Rice and Minnesota. What kind of crowds would be looking at in Evanston for those two to see a 3-win Northwestern team?
Against
Rice or Minnesota, especially if it's bad weather. Like, imagine if it's, say, 40 degrees and rainy. What kind of actual numbers of people in Ryan Field are we looking at there? Not tickets sold, but actual attendance.
Well, you've got me. That's one. And I can't really speak for the rest of you. No, I was talking about this the other day, how that Rice game is going to be one of the less enjoyable games. It's probably going to be the lowest attended game since I got here. a few years ago, a three-win Northwestern team, possibly somewhere between – okay, yeah, let's say a between two- and four-win Northwestern team against Rice, which is one of the worst teams in Division 1A football, although they are, you know, ranked higher than Northwestern in the Sagarin rankings, right?
They are. They that win over Purdue is looking pretty better and better. Purdue continues to improve.
This is like it's just on the plus side, Indiana is one of those teams that is worse than Northwestern.
Indiana is the worst BCS conference team according to the Sagarin ratings.
So
even worse than Minnesota, which everyone's talking about as the worst Big Ten team ever.
Northwestern is 10-point favorites, right?
They were as of Sunday. I'm guessing that line may have moved due to the fact that Persa may not play and the fact that was way too high a line anyway.
Yeah, that to me is insane that, like, Northwestern has lost five games in a row, reeling, hasn't put together a full offensive and defensive game all season long. And yet is double-digit favorites on the road against a Big Ten team, and it's not absurd.
I don't think Northwestern's ever been a double-digit favorite in a road game in during Big Ten play in the Pat Fitzgerald era.
And the one time it happens.
You probably have to go back to the Randy Walker era when they visited some of those really terrible Illinois teams. Illinois had some awful teams in the early part of the last decade.
Yeah, but
it's really
ridiculous.
To go back to that.
The one time that it does happen is after you've lost five straight games.
I know. The line is now 8.5.
Wow. But just to give a cursory glance over the way Northwestern has played since the last time we talked on the internet, you know, like I was saying earlier, you look around for what the team is consistently doing wrong. There is kind of the meme at this point of Ibrahim Campbell giving up insanely long pass plays. But other than that, you know, they've come from ahead to lose. You know, the coaching staff has changed things around, you know, schematically and personnel-wise. Dan Persa has been healthy for all the games, so it's not him. Although he has come out at points and the offense has suffered when he has. There's really no one thing you can put your finger on. It's really just a smorgasbord of unfortunate things that don't really appear to. The five losses are just like very uncontroversial. It's like different things happen every time, and they still manage to lose.
Right. At first, they had some things go their way that they didn't take advantage of. I know we talked about that after the Illinois game. Illinois gave us a couple gifts with the fumbles and that interception in the end zone, and also that phantom offensive pass interference call helped out. But then, you know, the breaks haven't really been going Northwestern's way the last few games, and part of that is their own fault, such as Dan Persa throwing a horrific interception against Iowa, which was really a turning point in that one.
Yeah.
And also the interception against Penn State he threw that was not his fault at all and was a very lucky bounce off the defensive lineman right to the Penn State guy. That was certainly a case of bad luck that really changed that game. But,
yeah,
you know, it's not like that was the whole game or something like that. I mean, it's not like the Michigan State Hail Mary or something like that, but those kind of breaks aren't really going Northwestern's way.
Yeah, the Victory Wright imitation there that they had.
Yes, that was like the poor man's Victory Right.
Except it came over like in a much more important game.
Yes.
Like again.
Yeah, the second time they did the Victory Right against Michigan State, that was two ranked teams. Of course, Northwestern finished the year 4-7, but they were ranked at the time.
And that's the other weird thing. Talking about rankings, Northwestern has lost three of the last four to ranked teams. Like, if you look at this is going to be the easier part of the lineup. Although not true, because you can see Nebraska and Michigan State being ranked, too.
Yeah, they'll almost surely both be ranked unless one of those two goes in the tank.
And it's not really, it's really just been a case of Northwestern, and they've played well and played winnable games. It's just really a question of them not being a better team. Like, there's really no way to put it.
Yes, especially on the defensive side of the ball. There's a pretty serious lack of talent going on.
Even though they're getting close, you know. It's a type of thing we're all here disappointed, you know, because this seemed like a good year with, you know, Dan Persa being, you know, a senior and everyone else, Jerick Dunsmore, Jarvin Ebert on the defensive side of the ball, you know, Vince Brown, Jordan Maven, all these seniors. You know, things went well last year, and then Persa got hurt. It kind of seemed like things were culminating in this year. And no, they've just been out. They just got beaten. And yeah, they could have won some of those games, and things just haven't. It's just like the ultra depressing nature of it, kind of.
It really is, and coaching staff certainly coming under a lot of fire. I think that they're probably coming under a little more fire than they deserve at times.
Yeah, I don't think that's
especially some of the defensive coaches. I don't think that. Yeah, I mean, it's not like you just bring in a different defensive coordinator and they'd be 5-2 instead. But there have been some pretty big errors, such as the
what defense
some of the
are we playing?
Problems in the secondary.
Yeah,
that's disturbing.
That I think is
about not knowing.
Yeah, that's something that probably a coaching error that, that was bad. There's really no way you could like spin that positively.
No, especially in halfway through the season.
And they're looking for answers. You know, I really like what they've done with Cade Coulter. You know, they've done a lot of just like different. This past week, they started 5 guys who hadn't started yet all season long, because they were like looking for new roles for like Vince Brown, maybe to play more on third down so he wasn't tired and stuff like that.
Right. Vince Brown has certainly been a disappointment this season.
Yeah, but the pass rush has really just been. I haven't looked at the like film to like say, oh, this was Vince Brown.
Right, I haven't either.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where a defensive end.
I'm really just saying that, yeah.
You can take a good defensive end out of the game by just putting 2 guys on him. But then you would hope that would open things up for other people.
I'm saying that so Vince Brown doesn't come to my room and kill me, which is always a fear. Wherever you live in the world, Vince Brown can show up in your room and murder you.
He is a pretty scary guy.
Yeah, just based on. Right. And on the other side, Tyler Scott's been good. The coaches have said a lot of nice things about him. So that's
yes,
nice.
Yes, it's nice. Right.
But
I thought the pass rush was going to be pretty good against Boston College. Yeah. Got some pressure on the quarterback.
The one consistent thing is that almost every week, opposing quarterbacks have been able to play a lot better than they have previously. If you go down the list, it's like a pretty comical, like, it's almost like we're being nice to these guys to make them feel good for being so bad at being college quarterbacks. like Chase Redding came in and threw for probably a career high, definitely at the time it was.
He's not done nothing since then.
You know, Army, they didn't really look to throw. But that Nathan Shielhouse and Denard Robinson put up tons of yards through the air. And they're really not. If you watch them play in subsequent weeks, both of those teams, those guys are not like good at throwing footballs to people catching footballs, which is what quarterback is. And Vandenberg torched us. Vandenberg is a pretty questionable QB. McGloin, they really ran the ball more than they passed it.
Vandenberg did absolutely light up Indiana. Now, granted, he had more touchdowns and incompletions against Indiana. He really had a big game. Now, granted, the Indiana defense is—they let up almost 400 yards and a half against North Texas, so it's not exactly a stalwart.
The Mean Green, though.
The Mean Green.
I am a little bit worried of the dominance of Conference USA teams over lower level Big Ten teams. Between Rice and North Texas, and what that means for Northwestern's showdown against Rice a few weeks from now.
That's true.
Can we just say something? Texas I remember
Texas might be in the Sun Belt Conference.
That could be true. If we go back a few weeks, we were talking about the nadir, if I'm pronouncing that word anywhere near correctly, of Boston College would have been if they had lost to UMass to go like 0-5. We have an event horizon coming up with Rice that could be the potential bottoming out point. If we lose to Indiana and also lose to Rice, it's like we're throwing a party because that's the low point, and it's only going to go up from there.
Well, isn't Minnesota the week after Rice? I think Minnesota was probably the worst team than Rice.
This is really depressing.
At least by transitive property, because Rice beat Purdue and Purdue blew up Minnesota.
By transitive property. And I always loved the transitive property.
By the I enjoyed that in the previews where the transit property would mean that Northwestern was going to win by 150 points.
It started getting difficult, though, because then it stopped happening. I could definitely put together the numbers if we get some No, I don't think I'll be able to for Rice. When you only win two games in a year, we'll see how we do against Indiana. But it's not good for the transitive property.
See what Indiana does. If we let this quarterback for Indiana throw on us, I saw some of their game against Iowa. This kid Roberson, the true freshman there,
Trey,
decided to go with. He's kind of like a Kane Coulter type guy, where he's more of a runner. I don't really throw with him very much. But he had some decent throws against Iowa. Iowa's defense is pretty shaky as well. Not nearly as bad as ours. But yeah, if this guy lights up Northwestern, and there's really very little evidence to indicate that's not exactly what he'll do, I'm going to be pretty depressed.
Well, I'm not going to let myself... like I said, I've hit the acceptance part. First of all, if I was a predicting man, which I will be in a few minutes, I would definitely give Northwestern the nod over Indiana. But if we don't at this point, I've sort of gotten to flushing it mode. Like, I'll just be like, yeah, this sucks, but I'm turning this site into a... I want it to be like the Grantland for Gossip Girl. I'm going to publish several long-form essays per day about this week's episode. It's a great show, by the way. Blake Lively is involved, and I don't really pay attention to the rest.
Blake Lively's the girl. She was in the Ben Affleck movie, right?
Yeah, The Town.
The Town. That's Blake Lively. Okay.
Yeah. Interestingly, she was also the person who you called out Grantland for earlier, where they just like blatantly decided to like talk about how hot she was.
Yes, and Molly Lambert, who's like the worst writer ever.
Yeah. In her defense, Blake Lively is like, I'm looking into various Blake Lively related site names for when this happens, because Sippin' on Purple won't make sense anymore when I switch the site over from Northwestern. You know how like when it flips from football to basketball season, I'm going to be switching it from football to Blake Lively until basketball season starts, which luckily is soon.
All right, yeah. So when you do the image search, this is getting really insightful.
Yeah, yeah.
only site editors know about it.
Yeah.
When you do the image search.
Yeah, it'll come up with pictures of Blake Lively.
Blake Lively searches.
Yeah. I was actually at the game on Saturday. I was standing a few rows behind John Cherna. So at one point I was just like, John, when does basketball season start? He was like, in a few weeks, you're good. Beginning of November. Are you coming to the games? I was like, yes, it's better than this. Yeah. How is the basketball season? It's better than football. We don't really need to say that much more, guys.
Yeah, we'll probably play in the postseason somewhere.
Yeah.
Most likely the NIT, but you never know if everything breaks right. Could happen.
That the rankings came out the other day. That Baylor game is going to be interesting.
Yes, and I'm planning to make it out to Evanston for that one. So
Oh, really?
In the building, yeah.
That's always like a season divider, how the team performs in front of Loretta.
Yes.
It worked out.
St. John's performance last year was not a good one.
Yeah, exactly. But BC in the NIT, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was there for that one, too.
I've decided I'm going to write a letter to Jim Phillips. I think all of our games and all of our sports should be against Boston College. Across the board. Women's swimming, Boston College. Volleyball, BC every day. Just shuttle across the country. Flights from New York to from Chicago to Boston, those are two pretty well-traveled airports. It can't be that hard. When the conferences break down, I just want it to be this one connection going across. And we can leave Indiana in there and Minnesota. The teams I think that we can beat in various sports.
I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to beat Indiana in basketball, but probably at least another year.
Well, it seems like their best player is Maurice Creek, and he has a habit of, like, getting into unfortunate accidents every year.
They have Cody Zeller, who's the savior of Indiana basketball.
And they still have the lesser of two Riverses, right?
No, he's graduated.
He graduated? No. Did he ever get to hit a three in college?
Ooh. I bet he probably.
No, I'm pretty sure he, if anything, he had like a third. Hold on, everybody. Hold on, I'm Googling it. This is why you're listening to this podcast. Jeremiah Rivers. Another sign of how professional we are is that I literally just closed the window on which I was talking to Loretta to Google Jeremiah Rivers' three-point percentage, and it turns out he did hit several threes in college. I apologize to Jeremiah. You're probably about as good at shooting three-pointers as I am. I consider myself like a 22% shooter unguarded.
Okay, not bad.
It's pretty, it gets me by in SPAC, which is the pickup court here. But he's probably a lot better at defense and also being related to an NBA coach than I am.
Yeah, and Austin Rivers is going to dominate for Duke, apparently.
Yeah. People always say we need to play Duke.
I could really do without playing.
Yeah, I'd like to keep playing them in football just to keep atoning for the one time we lost to them.
Yeah. Also, I don't like how Duke refuses to go play in other people's gyms. They insist on, when they play road games, that they play in neutral NBA arenas.
Hey, we got the United Center right here. We can sell that baby out. You just have to paint the lanes purple, take down all the pictures of Derrick Rose, replace him with John Sherma. Which should be pretty easy. You can probably just put a Northwestern jersey on Derrick Rose and people will think it's John Sherma. They're very similar people.
They are dead ringers.
Yeah. But I'm optimistic as opposed to the football thing, which I really don't see this turning out any different than 5-7. And best case scenario, you know, 6-6 with a win over Nebraska or Michigan State, and we get to play in Detroit on Christmas. And I probably won't go. And Northwestern will probably beat a MAC team and break like a 63-year bowl streak. And like none of us are going to be happy about it. It would be nice for like Dan Persa to like do that and end his career that way, I guess.
That's true. Although, every people would be in that stadium. It'd be kind of depressing.
Let me rephrase. If Northwestern won a bowl game, like that would be the optimal ending to the season. That's what I would like. That's like the dream case scenario. It would be a little bit disappointing to have the bowl thing end that way, not in like a more glamorous way. But at the end of the day, it's sort of what you want. I don't see it particularly likely because Northwestern is going to have to beat a team that's much better than them in Nebraska or Michigan State. And also hold its own against three teams that are worse than them. And that hasn't been a given in any Northwestern season, let alone this one where we lost to Army. Say what you will about Army, I don't think they've won since, have they? They beat Miami of Ohio?
No, they lost Miami of Ohio. They beat Tulane by a lot.
They beat Tulane by a lot, yeah. But their Miami of Ohio's one win.
Yes, Miami of Ohio lost to Minnesota, too. So.
Jesus. it's a circle of depression and sadness.
Right.
And Northwestern is right in the middle, and it's beautiful.
Let's talk about something happier, like John Cherna. So,
yeah.
I sent out on Twitter before the podcast started if anybody had any questions for us to address. Yeah, we've got a question here from Bobo Reilly, who writes for Big Ten Powerhouse. And he wants to know where John Cherna ranks among Northwestern players that we've seen play.
I'm a little bit I'm obviously a youngin' here, but it's either him or Juice. Coble was a really great talent, but I think Cherna's a better player. Juice, it'll be interesting to see what this team does without Juice Thompson, because he really was the entire team last season. He was to the basketball team what Dan Persa was to the football team.
He was indeed, and certainly down the stretch of the season, Cherna was not at 100%.
Yeah, well, for most of the season, Cherna was at 100% between the ankle and the concussion, and
yeah.
He willed us through several rounds of the NIT, won us a game of the Big Ten tournament. 35 points, career high.
Yes, he won that game pretty much by himself.
It'll be interesting to see. I'd say it's between them. Of the two, obviously, Cherna is the more likely, you know, the better professional prospect. But what Juice Thompson was able to do is pretty absurd.
Right. For me, when I rank him, I would say that Jatim Young is the best Northwestern player that I've seen. Tim Young was equally as important to Northwestern as Thompson was. They're both sort of the point guards that ran the show, and without them, teams would have been going nowhere. The thing with Tim Young, though, he was also an elite defender, which Thompson was not. But Thompson was a better shooter than Young. Young wasn't a great three-point shooter, but Young also was. I believe he finished his senior year. He's a 6'1 guard and finished. I think he was top 10 in the Big Ten in scoring, rebounding, assists, and steals. And he was first-team all-conference player, and the other two first-team all-conference guards were Darren Williams and Devin Harris. So that was pretty good company for him. So yeah. I would put Tim Young as number one. And probably Cherna, either second or third. Thompson.
And Kevin Coble, it's tough to say because we didn't get the whole picture. He sucks.
Probably also have to throw Vedran Vukušić into the top five.
You know, you wanted to talk about something less depressing than football, but now we're talking about how good Vedran Vukušić was.
He was a good player, man. He led the Big Lieutenant Scoring on here.
Buff.
He was pretty similar to Coble and Chernow, I would say.
And we also have a question from someone whose name is apparently Joe Pa's Doghouse. Jay Schnauzer, who asked us why Northwestern punts it on 4th and 3, and there's no good answer. I have nothing to say.
That was a bad decision.
Because you're also a big fan of the punt to win crew.
Who gets really mad at
everyone who punts when they really should not.
Right. Well, that was pretty, at least he didn't top Ron Zook punting on 4th and 3 from the 38-yard line, the Purdue 38-yard line when he was down by 21 points. That probably wasn't the wisest decision.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. I'll give him that.
I'll give Fitz, Fitz has made some questionable calls this year, but on the whole, if they're not losing because of him. They're not losing because of coaching. Not that they couldn't be doing a better job, and not that we weren't rightfully mad after the loss to Illinois, which, there were some coaching snafus and stuff like that, but yeah. I'm not gonna criticize that.
Yeah, I don't think we're into the fire coaching mode. Evaluate.
Some people are.
Right. I think we can reevaluate this after the season's over.
Yeah, and when we talk about the fire blank, the other thing is that it's such a plausible impossibility.
Right.
What do people like about, Northwestern? Pat Fitzgerald, is really the only thing that ever comes to mind. That's right. Pretty much like... Yeah. And
so just a quick forecasting of Northwestern basketball and how the Big Ten looks.
Yeah.
If you look around the Big Ten, Ohio State is national title contender. Very scary.
I'm so mad at the lockout for making sure that Jared Sullinger...
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe William Buford might have left, too.
Yeah.
So Ohio State is...
and all of...
Ben, almost certainly.
All of Baylor would have left. The whole team. Right. They would have just up and up and been a... NBA team in Waco, Texas.
Yeah. So you got Ohio State is scary good. And Wisconsin is probably the consensus number 2 team. And Northwestern only plays them once, and it's at Wisconsin, so that's a loss.
You also only get Nebraska once.
Which is right. But you really look after that in the Big Ten, there aren't any teams that are really that frightening, I don't think. Michigan is the only other ranked team at 18. And I'm kind of surprised that Michigan is ranked number 18
because
Darius Morris went to the NBA.
Yeah,
with Darius Morris, that's a reasonable ranking. But without him, that seems awfully high to me.
And you look at the teams. Illinois lost. Illinois lost McKamey. Michigan State lost. Delvon Rowe, right?
Yeah, and Caleb Lucas.
How did I say Delvon Rowe first?
Well, Delvon Rowe did just quit the team like a couple weeks ago.
Well, career-ending injuries. Yeah, so, sad to see that.
I think John Schoerner's going to be very happy to see Delvon Rowe go. He had Schoerner playing on one leg against Delvon Rowe. Delvon Rowe did very mean things to him defensively.
Yeah.
John Schoerner's going to be happy not to have to deal with Delvon Rowe.
I'm not going to forecast anything yet because I just don't know how this team will or can function without Juice Thompson. If you're going to look at, the sample size of minutes they played without him last year, it's almost none.
Right.
Games,
it's basically garbage time.
He averaged 40 and a half minutes a game last year.
Did he really?
It was
over 40 overtimes?
I think at least in Big Ten play. And so you have garbage times and a few, like...
SIU Edwards.
And a few, times when he, came out, for a few minutes with foul trouble.
Right. There was that game at Iowa. Do you remember that, where Northwestern had, a 30-point lead in the first half, and Carmody went to the hole? He would be brought on the whole bench with about 3 minutes left in the first half. The bench.
It's just confusing.
And he had to go back to the start of the second half.
I think it was a Big Ten play. He averaged. No, that doesn't make sense, though. Down the stretch, he was playing 39, 40 minutes a game, 45 when they went to OT twice. Yeah, just ridiculous. Yeah, I'm not sure where I saw that stat, but I was clearly wrong. Everyone should ignore me. And last unfortunate segue, we're great at those. Let's talk about Northwestern Indiana this week. What do you see? We've kind of tried to ignore the fact that football exists for large swaths of this podcast.
Well, I'd say that, I don't know. I think that as long as Northwestern doesn't turn the ball over, then I have a hard time seeing them lose this game because Indiana's defense is so bad. And they really should be able to move the ball. And Indiana's offense is pretty suspect with the true freshman quarterback. I think he's either his second or third start, who's a glorified Wildcat QB.
I mean, he looks good, but yeah.
Right. He's shown some promise, but can he hang in there? I mean, I don't think Indiana's going to have much of a home field advantage. I don't think it's going to exactly be a sellout rocking crowd there for 1-7.
For Bloomington at 11 a.m. And, you know, they've already, you know, Northwestern, you know, has that slim chance of a bowl game. They're 1-7. They're not really playing for anything other than to develop those freshmen, you know, try to figure out what they have in Trey Robinson. Even then, you know, they don't, because you feel bad with the whole Gunnar Keel thing.
That really is a shame.
Not really. It's probably best for Gunnar Keel. I would not go to Indiana if I was him.
Yeah, that could be like a Jay Cutler at Vanderbilt type situation, where Cutler just did everything in his power to try to win them games, but they still were under 500 because they had no good players around them. They were in the SEC.
But Jay Cutler is just so Vanderbilt, though. And I'm not sure Jay Cutler is Indiana. Sorry, I'm not sure Gunnar Keel is Indiana enough to put up with that for 4 years. He's going to go to Notre Dame. He's going to be a guy named Gunner playing for Notre Dame. He's going to be really annoying to everybody for 4 years. Then he's going to go to the NFL if he's that type of guy. I don't really know that much about high schoolers because I'm not creepy.
Yeah.
but, yeah, I agree with you. This defense is absurdly bad. You know, we can flash back to Army, which also has pretty bad defense. But that game, Northwestern couldn't keep them off the field. I've been a lot more pleased with Northwestern's defensive play. They played well in the second half against Penn State. You know, the thing about, oh, we only give up big plays is like one of the stupidest things ever. But it rings true in large part against Iowa and Illinois, where, you know, the only reason those games were lost were because of a few tremendous, like, games at, you know, Iowa, the pick six. Like, big game-changing plays. And there wasn't really, there was a one long passing touchdown against Penn State. But they really played a solid half of football there for the first time in a while.
Yeah, something to build on, hopefully.
You know, they gave
up. I was
up
just thinking about
the 190-yard drive. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Indiana situation and how Gunnar Keel's older brother is one of the quarterbacks for Indiana right now.
Dusty. What a terrible naming family. What an awesome family.
That must be very awkward for the coaches at Indiana when they know that Gunnar Keel's wavering on his commitment. You think they just, like, give Dusty the VIP treatment? You think he gets, like, prime seating on the bus and stuff? And he gets, like, when they go on the road,
well,
he gets his own fancy hotel room?
He got benched, so no. Wasn't he playing at quarterback, and now he's not playing at quarterback?
Yeah, he gets run briefly.
Hold on. Can someone look this up, what the correlation between Dusty Keel playing quarterback and Gunnar deciding not to go to Indiana is? Because that news came before this last game for Indiana, which was Trey Robinson's best game yet, or Roberson.
Yes. Right. I'm not sure when. Yeah, I think it did happen before that.
Oh. Poor Kevin Wilson. and Kevin Johns, former wide receivers coach, and Noah Heron, who's also on the staff there.
Yeah, Kevin Wilson, the man will always be a special place in my heart for bringing the spread offense to Northwestern.
Yeah, kind of redefined that.
Today.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, they could also lose.
It's going to be pretty tough if they lose this one. I mean, so, you know, the last Twitter question, Travis Miller, T-Bill, sleep provider of Hammer and Rails, the Purdue SB Nation blog. He asked, what game will Loretta overdose during the remaining football season? So I've been tweeting a lot about my about abusing substances during the games. And I'm kind of with you on, you know, I've sort of accepted that Northwestern is bad and I've moved on. So I think my health is safe for the remainder of the year, especially the early kickoff for Indiana.
Oh, but Rice is like calling for drugs.
It is. I mean, I guess I could probably talk about doing drugs on the podcast because I'm not doing it anonymously, but I still, this doesn't seem like a good idea. So I'm not going
to
do that.
They probably should just give out, you know, some form of acid at the door for that one.
Some drink.
I'll work on that. I'll buy a lot of
promotion.
It really could leverage my site. You know, if all 800 people at the game that day hear about sipping on purple.
Yeah, I was looking at that on, I was looking at the Sipping on Purple Facebook page.
Which I stopped using.
Right, but I was looking at the, you know, on the site, there's so-and-so people like Sipping on Purple, and I was looking at it, and I saw one guy's profile, and I'm 99% sure this dude thought the site was just something about purple drink. It had his interests, you know, and I can't remember the guy's name, and I'm not going to say it if I remember it, but it was something along the lines of interests. Marijuana, drink. Those were his two interests.
That's what mine were before I started my job search. You know, I just don't want employers to know that I love drink
right,
so much.
Not. Yeah, it's all tongue-in-cheek, right? It's not, you're not really actually.
When the site first started, the Purple Drake was the name of the website, for those of you old schoolers. It was really interesting to see the cross-section of people, because also no one was reading it, the cross-section of people who were coming to my site looking for Northwestern sports information and people looking for, you know, Purple Drake-related information. It was fascinating cross-section.
I'm always wondering when people Google the site, whether they're, when you see on the search terms what people, how people are finding the site. There's always a lot of people finding it by Googling Sipping on Purple, and I wonder how many are looking for the site and how many just want to get high.
Mainly looking for Kyle Rowley, though, I find.
Yes.
Anyway.
St. Mary's fans are out in force.
Yeah. The Gales. That just about, we've covered pretty much a lot of things we didn't need to. Any last words of wisdom about Northwestern Indiana?
If you got any, if you have a potential social life, maybe go spend some time with your friends.
Family.
Might be a better use of your time.
Yeah, you know, life is short, guys. And instead of watching Northwestern play Indiana, just don't do it. Don't do Northwestern Indiana. Drugs, acceptable. Northwestern Indiana, stay away. That's my message to the kids. All right.
Friends don't let friends watch last place big things.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And, God, this is awful. Northwestern, that is. And also the podcast. Goodbye.